Juju. Everyone in her group.
The Vindicator. History reported daily.
Happy Thursday, everyone, and welcome to Vindy Sports Live right here on Vindy.com and on The Vindicator's Facebook page. My name is Corey Christen, and on this week's panel, I am joined by sports reporter Dan Heiner and Vindy correspondent Steve Ruman. We are talking wall-to-wall baseball today as the College World Series has come to a close. The Cleveland Indians and I guess the Pittsburgh Pirates too are nearing the Major League Baseball All-Star break. But Steve, we got you in here today, and we're talking Mahoning Valley Scrappers as their season is off and running. And as you know, and as we all know, the sun always shines on Niles, Ohio.
Always. No rainouts yet this year.
None yet.
Don't jinx it.
The over/under I think you set was
two.
So we're okay so far after the opening day almost got rained out. We almost had one before it even started.
The day after, opening day was what the tornado sirens wailing and all that craziness, you know, as we were walking up to the gate. But lo and behold, they got the game off right on time.
Well, they've gotten 12 games in so far, and Mahoning Valley had its second best 10-game start in franchise history. They were 7-3 in those first 10, have dropped a couple since, so they're 7-5 checking into today. But Steve, their roster is as talented as you'll see in this league this year, and you've covered them since their inception in 99. How does this roster stack up to, I mean, we've seen league champions, multiple division winners. It probably stacks up, I would think, to some of those.
Right now, absolutely. I think it does. You go back to last year, you know, there was a whole lot of talent on that team, but it came and went. This year, there seems to be, I get the sense there's going to be a little more stability than there was in years past. And if that's the case, I mean, if we keep what we have up here now, it's going to be a fun summer.
Some top 30 prospects on MLB Pipeline's Indians list, including George Valera and Ethan Hankins, are both in the top 10. But I like what you say there about stability, because in past years, we've seen these top prospects do well in Mahoning Valley and then get called up to Lake County. I think part of that is because of their age. This year, you can see them stick around in Mahoning Valley for a little bit longer.
It's set up a little bit differently. It seems like now, I mean, we used to get the draft choices right out from June, and they would come to Mahoning Valley. Now the Indians have it set up where you know, the high school kids that get drafted, they're going to Arizona for a full summer, and then they develop them a little bit more, then send them here. Same thing with their non-drafted free agents, you know, they send them there for the summer. They have the split squads in Arizona, so that kind of helps the whole process a little bit more. So I think as a result, we're going to see, you know, some of the guys that we have now stick around, hopefully.
Dan, it's interesting because we haven't seen any 2019 draft picks yet in Cleveland, but kind of to Steve's point here, it's been the college products from last year that were drafted and then some international free agents from a couple years prior.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing is, usually when it comes to the college kids, it takes a little bit longer for them to kind of get sorted out in the system. And the international guys, they need a little bit more grooming. You know, they have to handle each player individually down in Arizona, and they have to kind of take that same philosophy when they get the call up here. So to kind of build on what Steve was saying, you look at guys like George Valera, you know, Henderson Diolio. Like, those are guys that you can expect to be here, at least I would imagine, through maybe like the early part of August. And then maybe you start seeing some shuffling around, because that's very similar to what they did last year.
In addition to that, you could see Ethan Hankins here for an extended period of time. And Hankins, a top 10 prospect in the Indians organization, a first-round pick last year, only 19 years old. And, Steve, in the past few years, we've seen players like Shane Bieber and Aaron Civale and even Tristan McKenzie before he got injured, who were on a real fast track in some ways, and even Zach Plesac, to get to Cleveland, the major league level. Hankins, still a teenager, drafted out of high school last year. He's as talented as they come on that plateau of those other players.
I'll tell you what, we've seen him twice this year, and I mean, the small sampling, it's impressive. And I mean, just the way he goes about it, he looks so, it's effortless out there. And I mean, it's almost, if you watch him throwing, it's almost like he's throwing bullpen or throwing batting practice. It just looks that easy and that relaxed to him. And then you see that ball just boom out of his arm. It's pretty remarkable. And you know, two outings, almost what I think he's pitched the 8 1/3 innings, not giving up a hit yet. And like I said, he's made it look really easy.
He struck out 12 and he's walked 2 so far. And he's a player that profiles with a high 90s fastball, and he has a slider that he throws with the same arm angle. Yeah. We talk about it all the time. His delivery is very repeatable, and that's probably why he's done so well so far. But then you look in the bullpen; it's had its struggles this year. But Tim Herron, Tim Herron in the back end with 3 saves already, he's been impressive.
Yeah, but you're right. I mean, the bullpen for the most part as a group, they definitely struggled, and that's cost them a couple games this year, and it's something they got to get straightened out. But you know, they'll tell you this is all about developmental, not winning games.
In a way, it's true.
Well,
in the other way, you got to teach them to win at some point. You know.
We've had 11 managers in the Mahoning Valley. Anytime they've ever lost, I've never had a manager that hasn't said, this is about developmental, it's not about winning. And when they win, they'll tell you, you know what, winning's part of the process. You got to learn to win, and that's, so
it works.
It's a give and take.
It works both ways. Yeah. Steve, you had an interesting story. You mentioned managers. Dennis Mallovy, who's now the manager of the Scrappers, was one of the originals in 1999, and now he's staying back with his former host family, and from what your column said, he's maintained a really strong bond with them since his time here as a player.
Yeah, it was pretty remarkable to talk to him and talk to the Bixler family about how, he was a 19-year-old, and they showed up at the Meet the Team greeting in 99 and saw him and Victor Martinez and a few others standing there. They said that he just looked totally lost. They went and introduced him. And, they made him part of their family that summer, and they've been like that ever since. I mean, they said he's never missed a birthday, an anniversary, a Christmas, nothing. And lo and behold, 20 years later, he's back with them.
Comes back full circle. It's got to be a little weird for him that he was one of the originals, and now some of the players that he's managing were born
I was
here.
Just going to say, some of them probably weren't born when he was here. That's pretty remarkable.
Before we take a break here, you did mention George Valera, who is regarded as one of the top hitting prospects in the Indians organization. His numbers may not jump out off the page at you, but he's as good as they get when it comes to running, when it comes to his eye at the plate. To me, he looks like a refined version of Robinson Cano up there.
Let's see how that product shapes out. Yeah. Really, he's hitting, over, I think it's over 250 this year.
Yeah.
So the batting average you can work with a little bit, but he leads the team in home runs, he's driving in runs, and more specifically, he's playing well in the field.
And that's some of the defense we've seen out there this year has been pretty outstanding. I think you were the one that texted us Sunday after they won that 2-1 game in extra innings, and there was a couple plays when we start the runner at second base in the extra innings and all that, and some of those plays we saw to keep that guy off a third were, and I think it was you that tweeted afterwards and saying that you watched the ESPN top 10 plays that night, and you saw two at Eastwood Field that topped any of those plays that we saw on ESPN.
You could have. It's been Valera in center field, and then Brian Rocchio and Ray Delgado in the middle. They've made some sensational plays.
Those two in the middle have been pretty remarkable, yeah.
They have.
Both those middle infielders, for people who don't know what happened, made across-the-body throws, with that runner at second base. One held the runner at second. The other one got the final out of the inning.
Yeah.
Basically Jeter-like plays they've made out there. And then you mentioned Valera before we get out here. Valera's bat, it may, like you said, the batting average has been down, but Steve, he's one of the strongest middle-of-the-order hitters we've seen here in a while.
Absolutely, and with that power, again, you could tell the learning process in his at-bats, but he definitely, he's got that. That hitting's going to come around, that consistent hitting.
From the future Cleveland Indians to the current Cleveland Indians, we're 12 days away from the All-Star break in Major League Baseball, and Cleveland Indians are getting some help with some former Scrappers and other prospects that have been called up this year. We'll talk about that and much more on the other side right here on Vindy Sports Live.
Vindicator, history reported daily.
Hi everyone, Corey Christen here for your Vindy Sports Live sidebar. We are less than 2 weeks away from the All-Star break in Major League Baseball, and if you had your money on the Cleveland Indians being 8.5 games back of the Minnesota Twins at this point, you would have lost a good chunk of change. Nonetheless, the Cleveland Indians are still in the race for that AL Central, and it's due to part of the kids, the AAA and AA call-ups that have produced at the corner of Carnegie and Ontario. Early on in the season, the Indians tried veterans like Carlos Gonzalez and Hanley Ramirez and Leonis Martin, for that matter, in their lineup. But it has been call-ups like Bobby Bradley, as of recent, the power-hitting first baseman, Aaron Civale, a starting pitcher that was drafted in 2016, doing well filling in a spot start. And even longer term, looking at Zach Plesac filling a spot in the Indians' rotation. And Oscar Mercado, who has now gifted the starting center fielder's position and is hitting 300 in this season. And later on this year, you could see more call-ups from AAA. Looking at Mark Mathias, an infielder who currently leads the Columbus Clippers in hitting. And then Daniel Johnson, since getting called up from AA in a span of 29 games, leads the Columbus Clippers outfielders with a .280 batting average. And then on the catcher's side, it could be Eric Haas, who has hit 20-plus home runs before at the AAA level. And we've already seen some relievers as well, like Josh D. Smith in the last couple of weeks. And by the way, Yeffrey Rodriguez as a starter as well, before he got injured, did pretty well filling in. The kids are doing well in Cleveland. Call some more up. Let's see what they can do and see if the Indians can get back into first place in the AL Central before the season wraps up. For your Vindy Sports Live sidebar, I'm Corey Christen.
Vindy Wheels, redesigned for print, online, and mobile with thousands of local rides. It's a no-pressure way to find your next vehicle or to sell your old one. At home or on the road, it's all local all the time. VindyWheels.com.
Need cash? Place a garage sale ad in the Vindicator. Get a free garage sale kit when you call Classifieds now. 330-746-6565, option 4, or email classifieds@vindy.com.
Back here on Vindy Sports Live on Vindy.com and on the Vindicators Facebook page, Corey Christen, Dan Heiner, and Steve Ruman in studio with you, transitioning from the minor leagues to the major leagues. And the All-Star Game in Major League Baseball is 12 days away. That'll take place in the city of Cleveland. And a pair of first basemen, local, I guess you could say, Pittsburgh and Cleveland, with Josh Bell and Carlos Santana, are up for election. They changed the voting this year. So now you vote to get into the top three, and then you vote amongst the top three to start the All-Star game. As of about a couple hours ago, when voting closed at 4 o'clock, Carlos Santana had nearly half the vote, 49.3%, and then Luke Voit of the New York Yankees at 26%. Big question here is Carlos Santana deserving to start the All-Star game?
I think so. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you look, not only... in regards to the Indians, you know, he's been one of the more consistent first basemen throughout the Major League Baseball season. He's had a very, obviously we know about the eye, but he's also made very solid contact throughout the year. He's generated some power. He's got maybe not the best RBI numbers that you would see in the game, but he's definitely, I think, deserving to be in that conversation. And, I mean, if you asked me, I would have taken him over Luke Voit.
I think I would too.
Just his consistency, offense and defense. I think he's earned it. And then, you know, it doesn't hurt that the game's in Cleveland this year. So, you know, that kind of story. I mean, let's face it. That's part of what the All-Star game's all about. It's not always the best player, but in this situation, I think it is. I mean, I think it is. I think he does deserve it.
Isn't it fitting that Santana, same name as a music legend, Carlos Santana, with home of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and starting the All-Star game.
The stars
game.
Are aligning for him.
How perfect is it? And he's participating in the Home Run Derby, we learned last week, too. So the Indians are 8.5 games back of the Twins entering today, and we've seen the youth movement this year in Cleveland. We saw it happen in a couple cases in Major League Baseball, where the Mets called up Pete Alonso to start the year, and the Padres called up Fernando Tatis Jr., and they basically said, they're one of our best 25 players, so we're going to play him. The Indians chose to go with veterans. They chose guys like Carlos Gonzalez and Hanley Ramirez, and it didn't work, but now you see the youth movement with Oscar Mercado and Zach Plesac throughout the majority of the year, and now Bobby Bradley and Aaron Civale.
Well, I don't think that, realistically, I don't think it would have been smart to kind of bank on somebody like Mercado and Bobby Bradley right out the gate. I think they needed to kind of get their feet under them a little bit for, in Mercado's case, the first couple weeks there before a call was made up. And Bobby Bradley's just been on one hell of a tear. And that was more of a call-up based on the product, the recent product, than it was on long-term plan. Mm-hmm. So I can't really fault them there.
Yeah, I mean, the route that they're going right now, and honestly, I mean, they're not going to catch the Twins, I don't think. The Twins are for real. So now you're clumped together with what, Texas, with the, you know, New York, with Tampa, a lot of teams in there in the mix. You don't want to see them throw the season away by any means, but at the same time, I mean, with this youth movement, I think they're going the right route.
Currently, the Indians trail the Rangers by a half game for the second wild card. It's Tampa, then Texas.
Yeah.
The Indians are a half game back, and then Boston's a game and a half back. So they're in some tight contention with the wild card. You don't think they can catch Minnesota. I'm on the fence about it. What do you think, Dan?
I think they got a puncher's chance, and only because, you know, Minnesota, they're really good, and they're a very good team. But there's going to come a point where there's going to be a bad week or so.
You would think so, but I'll tell you what, they haven't showed it yet.
They haven't showed it yet.
But, we're waiting on it. It seems like all year long we've waited on it.
But baseball is one of those weird sports, especially once you start getting into July and August. You get in those dog days, and then all of a sudden it seems like it's a hassle to kind of even get to the ballpark on time. I don't know if they catch them, but I think they can make a dent. And as long as you keep winning, you know, the old Terry Francona adage, all you got to do is win 2 out of 3.
Right.
If you get 2 out of 3, you might not get the division, but you'll definitely stay in contention for that wild card spot. If you can at least get into that game, you got a puncher's chance of potentially progressing.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen in the past, just get in that game and anything could happen, you know, from that point on. So, you know, who knows? But I just think, I mean, everybody's been waiting for this downfall of the Twins. And I don't know if it's just, you know, well, it's Minnesota and they haven't been there for so long. But I mean, I think this is a legitimate team.
You bring in a manager like Rocco Baldelli, and if you had a dollar to put on June 27th, the Twins would have the second best record in baseball. You probably wouldn't have made that bet.
No.
But here they are, 52-27, plus 112 in run differential, which is a thing people look at. And to my knowledge, that's second in baseball to the Dodgers, who have the best record in baseball. So it just goes to show that what Rocco Baldelli's done in his first year as Twins manager and what they've brought in this year. A bunch of one-year deals, mind you. It's a bunch of smaller contracts, so who knows how long they're successful. But at least for this year, people forget that as much as the Indians need to start winning some baseball games, which they have over the last few weeks, Minnesota just has to start losing. So.
And it looks like Minnesota's, I mean, they're willing to maybe go out and get that one or two extra guys, too. I mean, you know, before the trade deadline, they've made it known that they're not content, and they're willing to do what they have to do to upgrade, you know, what they have. So.
And that's kind of the big question with the Indians real quick here is that do they have room to add, or what can they add? Or, I mentioned this in my sidebar over the break, do they keep going back into that well of AAA players like a Mark Mathias or a Daniel Johnson or Eric Haas as a catcher or maybe some of these relievers that we've seen?
It's worked at this point, so, you know.
Haas, by the way, got international All-Star game, mm-hmm. so for those of you who are interested, all 10 of you.
I'm one of them, so make it 11.
Yeah. So, but, you know, the thing with the minor league well is at some point that eventually kind of dries up a little bit. And you're going to have to try to find some type of solution to, you know, some outfield help, preferably would be on that list. You know, maybe some help at catcher. I don't know how much of a help Haas would be going into a postseason run.
Maybe as a third catcher to kind of give Pulwecki and give Perez a break. But Perez is a borderline all-star himself.
He's had flashes.
Borderline.
He's had flashes. You know, the one thing is, the Indians have consistently, ever since they got rid of Victor Martinez, have kind of gone in this path of, we'll take a bad batting average and kind of a low offensive production from the catching position if that means that we get good game calling and some solid production behind the plate in terms of throwing out runners. So I don't see them kind of deviating from that anytime soon.
which Perez does well, and pitch framing, by the way, one of the best
in the league.
You know, turning a ball into a strike, for example. Lastly, before we get out here on the break, the Pirates are what they are right now. They're a few games under 500, and although they're beating up on the Astros today, they've had a weird season with virtually all their pitching staff being hurt, with Josh Bell resurging, Brian Reynolds becoming what he is. Josh Bell, is he currently the NL MVP?
No.
Because to me, it's a three-headed race between him, Cody Bellinger of the Dodgers, and Christian Yelich of the Brewers.
I think it's going to come down to Yelich and Bellinger. I think Bellinger would end up getting it. I think the Dodgers having that number one spot would sway some guys. Mm-hmm. Josh Bell, I think he's an all-star. He's a very solid first baseman for the Pirates this year. I just don't know if he can be thrown into that conversation.
Give me Yelich any day, boy. I'll tell you
right?
What. I love his play, but I agree. I mean, you know, playing in L.A. is not going to hurt.
No.
We saw Paul Goldschmidt a couple years ago with Arizona win one when the Diamondbacks were kind of a so-and-so 500-ish team. So you never know. Anything could happen, I suppose.
He also needed, like, an unfathomably good year.
It's true.
You know, he needed a career year to get that title.
Which Bell's having right now, there's no doubt about that. We could see him start as well in 12 days in Cleveland when the All-Star game hits Progressive Field. We're going to take another break here on Vindy Sports Live, and when we come back, the College World Series is past us and has been decided. We'll discuss that in Vanderbilt's championship run on the other side. Don't go anywhere. This is Vindy Sports Live.
In the market to buy, sell, or rent a home? Check out Vindy Homes every Sunday in the Vindicator on Vindy.com or mobile. Every week, you'll find local feature homes for sale and the best area real estate listings, weekly real estate transactions, remodeling tips, apartment directories, and more. Pick up your copy of Vindy Homes this week. Log on to Vindy.com or call 330-746-6561 to subscribe today. 330-746-6561.
Need a job? Looking for employees? Visit the number one website for local jobs, VindyJobs.com. With automated search alerts, resume building tools, social media integrations, and mobile access, it's easy to find the right job or employee with VindyJobs.com.
Hi, I'm Tom Williams with the Vindy Sports Live Sidebar. Wednesday, Austintown Fitch named John Elliott to be the interim head football coach for the Falcons this fall. And it's difficult talking about this as far as commending anyone for making the right move. It's such a difficult situation with Coach Phil Anarella's death 3 weeks ago. But credit where credit is due. The Falcons have done a wonderful job finding someone who captures the spirit of Phil Anarella and will lead the Falcons this fall in what's sure to be a very emotional season. Coach Elliott has been with the Falcons the last 2 years as Coach Anarella's offensive coordinator. It's hard to imagine a better pick for a difficult situation. Coach Anarella's death comes 2 months before training camp would be getting underway for the fall season. There's not a lot of time to implement anything all that different from what they've been doing, and it would seem that Elliott would be the perfect pick for continuing Anarella's style and his flavor and capturing his spirit a little bit. So congratulations, maybe the wrong word, but at the same time, it seems the Falcons have made the right move. They found someone to lead in a difficult time who has experience. He's been with Coach Anarella for years. He was the offensive coordinator the last 2 years, as I've said. He also was with Coach Anarella at some of his other stops before arriving at Fitch 13 seasons ago. And we wish the Falcons good luck as they prepare for the fall season.
Everyone in her group.
The Vindicator. History reported daily.
Final segment here on Vindy Sports Live. Corey, Dan, and Steve with you. We were talking football over the break because High school football never sleeps in the Valley.
12 months of the year.
every month of the year. So the College World Series just wrapped up, and some may not have noticed it, because I want to talk before we get into the coverage of, you know, who won and what happened, but I feel like the College World Series is one of the college championship events that doesn't get enough coverage. You know, it's obviously televised, but, you know, around here there's just no threats in college baseball, I guess I could say.
Yeah, I mean, like Ohio State usually is a team that you can expect to kind of come out of the Big Ten, but mm-hmm. I mean, realistically, there's not a lot of punch in Ohio, Western PA college baseball.
New York, West Virginia, nothing really.
Also, I think that the way that it's kind of set up and kind of the terms that they use when they go through the postseason or is another thing that kind of throws people off a little bit. When you have a team competing for a super regional title and you're just kind of like, why is it not a regular 64 team bracket like we would normally see in like March Madness, and you can kind of follow along? I think it kind of adds a little bit of confusion.
Yeah, it would be interesting to see the breakdown of viewership, you know, our region compared to, you know, this place, that place, because you just don't hear a lot of talk about it at all. Not a lot of coverage, and people aren't demanding coverage of it. You know, baseball, I mean, I love baseball, but I forget about it come this time of the year. It's easy to forget about unless, you know, you're right in front of that television, you're flipping through and okay, I'm going to watch it. But, you know, Michigan, Vanderbilt just didn't catch my attention.
I think one of the more unique things about college baseball is that you'll see players get drafted and then they'll finish their season out before they even report to, in the Indians' case, it would be Mahoning Valley or the Arizona League. So in Michigan's case, there was a player that was drafted in the first round and obviously couldn't report. I believe it was Texas that drafted him.
I think so.
He couldn't report to camp yet because he's busy playing for a championship, and that was Michigan versus Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt with an 8-2 win on Wednesday, that was yesterday, I guess, wins its second College World Series in the last four appearances. That's all since 2011. So Vandy at 59-12, Michigan finishes at 50-22. Really a tale of two different things, because Vandy was the more dominant program coming in, Michigan the hotter program coming in into this World Series final.
Well, I mean, Michigan just barely squeaked into the bracket, so let alone, you know, thinking that they were going to make it this far. Really what it came down to was Vandy's pitching. I mean, go back to when they had David Price. They've always just had strong, you know, starting pitching. And yet again, you look at Kumar Rocker. I mean, kid throws a no-hitter. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it was, what, 19 strikeouts he had?
Yeah. A freshman, too, nonetheless.
Yeah, so, I mean, there was talent there. Just Michigan had the momentum, but the bats just didn't follow in games 2 and 3.
There was a cool side bet going on in the Scrappers Clubhouse. It wasn't for anything major, but John Ungelman, who since got promoted to Lake County, and Cody Farhat, who also since got promoted to Lake County. Farhat went to Texas Tech, so they played each other in the first round. And obviously, Ungelman got the upper hand there because his Wolverines went to the World Series final. Do you think, Steve, that because the Major League Baseball draft isn't publicized like football or basketball is, do you think that helps or hurts the college game in any way? Because we don't hear about it much around here because there just aren't teams like Vanderbilt or Florida or anything down south that you would see.
Yeah, it certainly doesn't help it at all. Yeah. And I don't know. I mean, I guess it goes hand in hand. How do you promote it when, you know, nobody's watching a college game until the World Series? I mean, it's just there's just not that interest. And then, of course, you know, the unique thing about the baseball draft, you have so many high school kids coming out of that draft, whereas you don't. And then, you know, so-and-so is going to draft, you know, Miami's going to draft so-and-so in the third round. Well, no, he doesn't want to go in the third round, so he decides to stay for that extra year of college. You know, those decisions are made at the last minute where you don't see that in the other sports. So it's just the time of the year and I guess all of these oddities just – it's just a bad combination.
Yeah. How does that get fixed then? What do you think, Dan?
You know, just with the way that the whole baseball system is set up, where there's really no guarantee on anything, mm-hmm. I don't know if you really can do anything with it.
Yeah.
You know, it's one thing for somebody like Zion to go play at Duke, then get drafted number one overall, and then we can, you know, everybody can kind of drool over him until the basketball season kicks off in October. But it's another thing when a guy goes catcher out of Oregon State goes number one, And then the Orioles have to wait 2, 3, maybe 4 years, depending on how things pan out, for him to actually get up there. So I don't know if there's really any way to improve on it.
Yeah, I mean, name recognition is everything, in especially you talked about Zion, and you know, I mean, everybody was waiting all year just to see where he was going to go. You don't have that in baseball. There's just not that name recognition, and I don't think there's not an easy way to fix that.
The common person probably doesn't know who Adley Rutschman is.
Yeah.
For those that are listening and don't know who Adley Rutschman is, he was the first overall pick to the Baltimore Orioles out of Oregon State, a catcher who got paid a pretty hefty sum, $8.1 million signing bonus, just to be in the Orioles organization. And we could see him in Mahoning Valley this year if he's part of Aberdeen, which is the Orioles affiliate there.
Which I think is actually, I want to say they assigned him there yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So we very easily will see him when, I think it's end of July?
End of July, end of next month, I believe.
Yeah, at end of July, there's a 3-game series in Mahoning Valley. So we very easily could see him, unless he, you know, has a Bryce Harper-style short season and then all of a sudden gets bumped up after 2 weeks.
The Scrappers are on the road tonight at State College. They come home for the weekend against Batavia again. And Steve, I believe the pitching probables suggest that Ethan Hankins pitches tomorrow.
Yeah, because of the off day that moved him back a day. So he pitched Sunday. He'll go tomorrow and see if he can keep that hitless streak going.
A couple big series coming up here at Eastwood Field,
he's,
too.
He's two outs away from a 9-inning no-hitter.
I think one out. I think he's one out.
Oh, that's right, because he was very angry when they took him out with two outs in the fifth inning there last week. That was actually last Saturday that he pitched, yeah.
Hey, when you're 19 years old, the organization's going to make sure your arm's okay.
Oh, and he talked about that after the game, that he understood, but just a competitor in him, obviously, you know, you want to stay in there and get that last out, get five innings in and get that win, but, you know.
And they, you know, the organization has said that that's kind of the next step in the process for him. You know, he's at a 75-pitch limit right now. Eventually, maybe bump it up to 80 down the road, 85, and then by the time we start getting deeper into that pitch count, then see what they have, and then see if he can kind of be a little consistent going 5-6 innings.
And by then, he'll be elsewhere, because it's very rare that we see starting pitchers in Mahoning Valley go beyond 5 innings. I mean, 6 innings is really the max. That's it. You don't see that, you know, at this level.
I think the last case was Tristan McKenzie a couple years ago when he went, I think he pitched a 7-inning or 6 2/3 innings, whatever it was. So he neared that threshold.
Yeah, and he had a low pitch count that night. It was not like they were stretching him by any means.
Yeah, I mean, even Luis Oviedo for the year that he had last season, I mean, if you saw him go out there for even an out in the sixth inning, it was kind of rare.
Yeah, especially when they're that young. Steve, thanks for taking time with us today coming
Absolutely.
In. Dan, we'll talk to you soon as well.
I'm always here.
Those of you at home watching and listening, we'll talk to you soon as well. Thank you for tuning in this week. Remember to follow us on all social media channels, Vindicator Sports and Vindy Sports. My name is Corey Christen. We'll see you next time.